Anthony Rack.
I'm here, Kathy. Can you hear me?
Oh, hello, Anthony Rack. Yes, we have to do our Israel report. How are you?
Not too bad. Thank you very much. Recovered from yesterday. I hope you have done as well. Yeah, it almost feels like it should be Sunday today, and yet the week's almost over.
Who knew, hey? Anthony, right, so tell us some news. I haven't got any specific topics that I want to talk
about. I do, because just before Yom Kippur, I looked at Times of Israel. I read this article about the Russian plane, and my stomach physically lurched to a sense of nausea, thinking the very last thing Israel needs in its existence is to have this kind of argy-bargy with Russia. This is serious.
All right, give us a background. Where are we on that? Give us a background for anyone who doesn't know.
So quite a lot has happened since just before Yom Kippur, because what happened, just for people who haven't really caught up with the story, there was an incident on Tuesday. I'm losing track of what day we're on now. There was an incident, not on Tuesday, on Monday, when a Russian plane with 15 people on board was shot down. A Russian plane. It turns out that it was actually shot down by Syrian aircraft fire, which is an interesting thing because the Syrians and the Russians, of course, are all in bed together. And then it turns out actually that the Syrians were firing at an Israeli attack on Syrian soil. So they were effectively trying to retaliate against Israeli aircraft that had been firing towards Syrian targets. And in the process, they didn't hit the Israeli planes, and instead they shot down a Russian plane. The irony being, of course, that the Syrians were using Russian equipment, Russian anti-missile equipment, in order to try to repel this Israeli attack. The news that then came out following Monday and into the day on Tuesday is that, in fact, for the very first time in a long, long time, the IDF actually did take responsibility for the attack on Syrian soil in the area of Latakia. It turns out that the IDF, in this case the Israeli Air Force rather than the IDF, but the Air Force were attacking targets which involved equipment, military manufacturing of missiles, and in fact movement of Iranian arms from Syria towards Lebanon, towards Hezbollah. And some of the press has reported that an Iranian Boeing 747 on the ground was also destroyed by the Israeli Air Force in that attack. And so the Syrians try to repel the attack and in the process hit a Russian airplane. Of course, the Russians are not particularly impressed with all that's happened, blaming Israel for the attack. They immediately called the Israeli ambassador in to be briefed on Tuesday to get an explanation. And in fact, the head of the Israeli Air Force has gone to Moscow with lots of information in order to present to the Russians all the details of exactly how this happened and what transpired, and in particular what the Israelis were involved in doing. But Israel's official statement says that it was the Israeli Air Force who attacked the Syrian target, but by the time the Russian plane was shot down, the Israeli planes were already in Israel. So that's basically what the Israeli communique says. Prime Minister Netanyahu has expressed regret for the Russian loss of life and for the fact that the Russian plane was shot down. That was not part of the intention when the Israeli attack took place. But of course, is not allowing Israel to take any responsibility for the fact that the Russian plane was shot down. President Putin has understood that it wasn't Israeli fire, it wasn't as a result of any action that Israel took that the Russian plane was shot down, yet the Russians are still holding Israel responsible for the loss of this Russian aircraft. So certainly a little bit of tension between Israel and Russia at the moment. Putin and Netanyahu did speak before Yom Kippur on Tuesday to try to put things to rest. And also Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman spoke with his Russian counterpart in Moscow to try to explain the Israeli side of the story. But clearly a slightly unpleasant taste at the moment in that relationship between Russia and Israel.
And it seems all over the place, Anthony. I mean, we had Sergei Lavrov come out very strongly against Israel. We had Putin exonerate Israel, and now it seems to have swung again with the consulate or the ambassador giving Israel stick again. Am I correct in my understanding? Or
Well, I think we need to just understand that Israel and Russia are kind of uncomfortable in their tolerance of each other in the whole Syrian situation. Israel is certainly not supporting Russia's actions in Syria, certainly not supporting Russia's support for Iran, certainly not supporting the fact that there's so much Russian weaponry that's going towards Hezbollah. And of course, this has emboldened Hassan Nasrallah, who made a huge speech today, threatening Israel that even though Israel is trying to prevent the movement of precision arms to the hands of Hezbollah, that Hezbollah has all that it needs in order to attack Israel. This has, of course, given Prime Minister Netanyahu the license to say, we learned from the Yom Kippur War, which, of course, we commemorate at this time of year. We learned from the Yom Kippur War the importance of preventative attacks, and so therefore Israel will not apologize for attacking these targets in order to prevent movements of arms to Hezbollah. Of course, Russia does not support Israel's actions in targeting Syrian targets, in destroying Russian-made arms that are moving to Hezbollah, that are moving to Russian forces. So Israel and Russia really have a very uncomfortable coexistence in the whole Syrian scenario at the moment.
Anthony, every year after Yom Kippur, there's usually this report that is released as to how much pollution was avoided because there were no cars or buses or any forms of transport on the roads during Yom Kippur. Have the Israeli authorities released that report?
I haven't seen a report which talks about the avoidance of pollution.
Oh, that has come down.
I have seen the regular post Yom Kippur report, which talks about how many people the emergency authorities had to treat for dehydration, for bicycle accidents, for falling off their skateboards, for not feeling so well over Yom Kippur, how many babies were born on Yom Kippur that had to be rushed to hospital, their mothers had to be rushed to hospital in order to deliver. So I have seen that report, and it's an annual statistical kind of merry-go-round. But I haven't seen the one about pollution, but I can absolutely believe it because, you know, the atmosphere in Israel is so different over Yom Kippur when there are no cars on the roads. Not only are there so many kids out on the bicycles riding in the middle of the highway and stuff like that because there are absolutely no cars around, but I think that it's just kind of a nice, peaceful situation. It kind of really adds to the atmosphere of Yom Kippur. But I will look out for those pollution statistics. I haven't seen anything published in the press as yet.
Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it today. Thank you so much for the time, and we wish you a Chag Sameach. Enjoy your Sukkot, and we'll catch your report on Wednesday, I think, with Howard Feldman.
Wednesday morning, yeah, that's when I'll be back. I wish you guys a great weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and of course, a Chag Sukkot Sameach. There is no better time to be in Israel than over Sukkot. So for those who are thinking about the possibility of visiting Israel, think about Sukkot next year. It's a really great time. Have a great
awesome.
One, guys.
Thank you so much. God bless, Anthony. Bye-bye. That's Anthony Reich. You can catch him weekday mornings at 7:45 with Howard Feldman right here on 101.9 High FM. And that is how we get to the end.